Good morning and welcome to the breakfast show on Faith FM with Kathy and Lawson. This is the right table for you to start your day with positive thoughts and solid spiritual foods. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, depending on where you are, or on our Faith FM app. You can chat to us by sending a message to 0491-064-669. Today is Tuesday, April 6th. The time now is 7:05 a.m. New South Wales time. And I am in the studio today with Lawson, Rachel, and Brian at the production desk, or as you like to say, the dex.
Yeah,
as
on
they
the decks,
are covering for Shell today. Good morning, Lawson.
Good morning. Are you well?
I am well.
Good night's sleep.
Good night of sleep. As you have when you have, you know, toddlers around the house.
Yeah.
Good morning, Rachel, and good morning, Brian, as well. Good morning to you, listener. And the thought of the day is this, Lawson. When we embrace and work through the design and boundaries we are given by God, this is when the most beauty can be revealed in us and through us. I'll give you an illustration. You like to play the guitar, Lawson.
Sure.
I know this.
Yep.
Now, if you get the guitar and you flip it around so that the strings are facing your stomach and your hands are in the backside of the guitar, are you exercising your freedom?
Yeah. I'm truly doing whatever
you're
I want.
You're exercising your freedom, but are you getting any good sound out of it?
I could play it like a really weak sounding drum. I could, you know, maybe slap
that's
the back
the best
of the thing.
That you can do.
That's the best I can do. Yeah.
And if you flip it on the right side up and you're just randomly, you know, strumming the chords, do you get any music, beautiful music out of it?
Nah, not really. I mean, if you're just trying to press random.
So when you embrace the design and the boundaries of that guitar, this is when you can truly find beauty. And in the same way is in life. When we embrace the limitations and the design that God has given to us, this is when He can produce a beautiful song. And in today's show, we're going to be talking about robots. We're going to be talking about a high-profile bishop stabbed in Western Sydney during church service. We were going to have an interview with Dr. John Ashton on intelligent design. And we're going to be talking about, in our Bible study, about savage wolves infiltrating into the church. You cannot miss today's show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Lawson, we have a conversation about robots, but before that happens, we want to know, what is the quiz question of the day, quiz number one?
All right, quiz number one. There'll be five quizzes throughout the day, and there are five quizzes throughout every single day, which give you opportunities to get in for the draw at the end of the week on Friday. But our first quiz question for today, in what city were the disciples first called Christians? This is some essential Christian trivia history here. If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. And if you text the correct answer through, you'll go into the draw. We have these two amazing books by Suki Gunatilleke. These are just incredible, going through essentially Reformation history and the amazing stories of people who were standing up for the faith, standing up for God's word. Of course, Suki, she is working for the Lineage crew there, making videos, sharing information about how it is that
this
God
Lineage
works.
Videos are amazing.
Dude, We had Adam Random on the show recently to do an interview with us, talk about the projects that they had coming up. But yeah, they're heading all over the world doing these amazing, amazing videos.
So how do our listener find these Lineage videos?
Lineage is all over social media and whatnot. If you jump on Facebook and Lineage or Instagram and Lineage Journey, you should find their stuff there. Now, both of these books are written by Suki, who is, you know, involved in Lineage, always, you know, getting into church history and the Reformation history. We've got two here, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars. Both of these books will be a massive blessing to you. Again, that number is 0491-064-669. And that question was, in what city were the disciples first called Christians? If you answer these questions correctly, you'll go into the draw to win these two amazing books. Hey, that is the question. Now time for some stories.
Okay, so what are robots going to do, Lawson? Are they going to replace us? Are they going to take our jobs?
No, but at the moment they're replacing pigs and foxes and other, you know, dogs and a few other things in the quest to keep runways clear. Now, this is a story coming out of an airport in Alaska, and in this airport, the Department of Transportation have gotten the assistance of a four-legged robotic guard animal that is disguised as a fox or a coyote that wanders around the runway, keeping animals off the runway. Just in the previous year, they've had 92 instances of animal strikes on the runway. So that's like the plane's taking off, and obviously the plane's going straight. You can't just like swerve to miss the animal.
Because that's going to be pretty dangerous.
It can be dangerous. If a bird flies into an engine or whatever it may be, it can really be bad. Or if it's a bigger animal, which Alaska has plenty of, like if a moose or a bear decides to, or a deer decides to run out in front of the plane, like, there's nothing you can do. When the plane's taking off, it's going for it. So the question is, okay, how can we keep these animals off the runway? And they're using a few different methods. They've been using a few different methods since the 1990s, which I thought were pretty funny.
Okay, tell us which ones.
So they
I know one.
They got pigs onto the airport ground to go around and eat bird eggs, you know, to just restrict the amount of birds that were there.
Okay.
They would mount speakers to produce loud noises.
Yes, I've heard about the speakers once before.
Yeah, so they're trying to get them off. They have been firing at animals with paintball guns, which I don't think sounds incredibly...
What kind of guns?
Paintball guns. Like just it's shooting paint. So,
paintball.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
okay.
So they're shooting at the animals, trying to keep them off the runway, or even just they've got like a drone that sprays grape juice. I don't know how the grape juice affects the animals. Maybe it keeps them off the runway in some sense.
I would actually think that it would actually attract the animals.
Maybe
it would definitely attract me. I love a good grape juice.
Absolutely.
As you know.
Shout out Petriti. So yummy. Maybe they're like spraying it on the edge of the runway, so the animals are like, oh, I'll go over there instead of hanging out.
We should start giving some grape juice bottles to our listeners as well as prizes.
Hey, that's a good thing.
I have some amazing grape juice from Brazil, but I am diverging here. Lawson, put me back on track here.
But now the Fairbanks Airport, they've got the checkbook out, about $70,000, and they've bought a robot from Boston Dynamics. Now, Boston Dynamics is, you might have seen the viral videos since like 2013, 2014 that they've been putting
I wonder if these videos are just CGI.
Yeah, because they're amazing, you know, like, right? These robots that climb around, walk around, and get knocked over and pick themselves back up again.
And that'd be scary too.
Like, yeah,
these robot dogs.
Yeah, that's right.
That people
robot
are using
dogs, robot cows, and they're just, well, they've painted this one up. They've got this Boston Dynamics robot that they've painted up in a dark browny color. And its name is Aurora, and it just walks around chasing ducks and birds and all kinds of animals and keeping them off the runway so that the planes can go through safely. Which I think is really cool. Cause first thing, you're not shooting paintballs at animals or anything like that, you know, or you're not like just releasing.
It's certainly an environmentally friendly solution.
That's right. This thing, it just goes out and it just walks around. Like it's not headbutting or fighting with the animals. It just walks around. The animals think that it's a coyote or something like that and gets scared and walks off the runway. It just walks around. And then eventually, you know, the Boston Dynamics robot here, it gets tired, goes in for a recharge. They charge it up again and overnight, and then it goes back out and it just does its walking around. And that's from the control tower
pretty
now,
cool. Very
they
interesting.
Just they just have like an extra camera and a joystick where they can just make the thing walk around and make sure that it's keeping.
I hope they bought more than one, because what happens if it breaks down? Then the whole security of the runway will be at risk. At least they needed at least two. You know, in the military they have a saying. Mm. They say, two is one and one is none.
That's awesome.
For crucial things that you need for accomplishing a certain kind of mission, you need to have at least two, because if you have only one and that one fails, well, so does the entirety of the mission. Mm. So I hope that they spent more, the $70,000 included one
an extra one.
Robot,
or at least some parts or whatnot. Well, I guess, look, if it breaks down, they can just pull out their paintball guns, you know, and do it old school. But no, this thing, it just walks around.
Because if you don't use it, you lose it.
Absolutely.
You know, tell that to me in 2 years' time and see if there anybody would be able to.
But this is, I thought this was a really cool story. And I thought this was a really cool application of robotics and the fact that
it is pretty cool.
They don't need to use animals or anything like that. Like, it's the animal, the opposite of, you know, whether you could, you know, I think using animals for certain tasks is amazing. And that's because animals love doing it. Like, particularly dogs, the amount of dopamine that we've tracked that dogs get from doing certain tasks. Yeah. And whatnot.
You know, I was once in Sydney in the Opera House with my family, and I saw this guy, and he had a dog on a very long leash, and that dog was trained to scare off the youngster seagulls because so the dog was there and he would just strike on them. He would never really, you know, take them, but they would give him a good scare. And the trainer of the dog was telling me that by doing so, the young ones learn that the opera house is off the limits. So every year he needs to come down and say, look, the adults, they usually respond pretty well to that, quote, therapy.
Yeah.
That shock scare therapy. Mm-hmm. And he says, but the young ones, they don't know. So they need to learn that if they're going to be hanging out around the opera house area, are going to be almost snatched by a German shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing. It's if transportation was outsourced from, you know, the horse to the motor vehicle, maybe these kinds of dog activities of scaring animals away and whatnot is going to be outsourced to robots. And soon we'll have robotic sheepdogs here in Australia on the ranges in the outback, making sure that the sheep stay in line. Now, will this cause a canine unemployment crisis? And we're
going to find new occupations for them. Lawson.
That's right. You know, like being cute. But this is the thing, is that they love it. Like, we know that, you know, there are some, I think, animal practices, getting animals to work in certain ways that I don't think is really positive, you know, whether it's animal racing or whatever it may be. But when it comes to them doing these kinds of jobs, like, we know that the dogs love it. Like, we've scanned their brains. We know that they're super into it. Now it's being outsourced to robots. We'll have to see. We'll have to keep our eye on the canine economy and see whether, you know, there is a use case for this in the future.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Lawson, 0491-064-669. What do our listeners think about robots in airport strips or in any other area? Let us know, 0491-064-669. And now we have quiz number 2 of the day, Lawson.
Hey, it's simply this. What city was Paul from? Paul, the apostle, the disciple, the person who was going around Asia and Europe sharing the gospel.
His city is quite amazing. I watched a documentary about it the other day. And it's quite amazing city. Did you know that they breed a specific kind of goat in that region that has a very long string of hair? And they use those hairs to make tents. So the finest tents in the world came from that city. And this is why Paul was a tent maker by trade. It was
it was something that's common, a regional thing.
Wow. And he would have access to the best, most exquisite, water-repellent, sun-proof materials of the time. That's the technology.
If you know where these tents are made, and specifically where Paul is from, 0491-064-669. Our prize for this week, we've got 2 prizes here, Sisters in Arms and As Bright as the Stars. Let me read one of the blurbs right here. It says, 4 stories in this book trace such connections. Follow Ursula von Munstenberg as she creates a movement of runaway nuns, flea pursuers, with Pierre Durand as he preaches in the hidden Huguenot churches of France, stand before the Pope with Italian princess Lavinia della Rovere, and witness steadfast faith through the political machinations surrounding King Edward the Sixers, King Edward the Sixth, and Lady Jane Grey. So these are just epic stories of people standing for their faith, standing for the word of God during the Reformation. Again, we've got these two books by Suki Gunatilleki. We want to give both of these to you for free. And the only way to get them for free is to get into our draw, which is happening on Friday, 0491-064-669. You are listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. Again, that question was, in what city was Paul from? Hey, what is in the news, Joseph?
Okay, Lawson. So, a warning to our listener is that these news contain descriptions of violence that may not be suitable to young listeners. Mm. So, parental or guardian discretion is advised. Lawson, while Australia has but recovered from the shock and horror of Saturday's stabbing spree, reports of another coward stabbing came from Sydney Monday, last evening. In Sydney. So it happened against Bishop Murray Emmanuel while he was celebrating a mass at the Assyrian Christ the Good Shepherd Church in the western suburb of Wakeley just after 7 p.m. The service was being live streamed on the church's website, and when a person stood up and without giving any warning stabbed the well-known bishop multiple times on his head and chest area.
What is going on in Sydney? Like, why is this all of a sudden? Like, I mean, there's always been knife crime around, but this is hectic.
Look, they don't appear to be related, but it is very concerning and sobering.
Yeah.
So three other people were harmed as other parishioners that as they were trying to defend Bishop and trying to subdue the attacker. Mm. Now, the story gets worse, Lawson, because the attacker was a 15-year-old male.
What?
He was eventually arrested by the police. But in that meantime, a crowd in the hundreds surrounded the church. They demanded that the 15-year-old aggressor be handed over to them. Apparently, that angry mob did come in support of the bishop. And they probably seen it in the live stream. But in the chaos that followed, the angry mob, they broken into houses to find objects that they can use as makeshift weapons. Police officers that were trying to secure to calm down the mobs, they were forced to use capsicum spray, and a couple of police officers were injured. One of them had his knee twisted and a chipped tooth in that process. He was hit by something, and the church said that you know, the only good news here in that whole story is that Bishop Emmanuel is alive.
Yeah.
Okay.
He survived.
He didn't die. He was in stable condition and he was taken to the hospital together with another clergyman. And this is what the church said in their social media. We ask for your prayers at this time. We also kindly ask anyone at the church to live in peace as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ teaches us. So people were called. I think that people in the mob, they were already perhaps moved or traumatized by, you know, the Saturday stabbings.
Yeah.
But again, the church, the authorities, the ecclesiastical authorities in the area, they asked them to calm down and let the police do their job.
Man, I am just ruminating over the motive for this stabbing.
So listen to this, and I'm going to be talking about the motives shortly. Well, but first this, apparently the offender had some of his fingers cut in the church by some of the parishioners that were defending the bishop. But this is still to be confirmed. So what do we make of that news, Lawson? Well, number one, we wish that Bishop Emmanuel and all those who were hurt in that process may have a speedy recovery, number one. We could talk about the angry mob and preventing the police to do their job and breaking into things and how making justice with your own hands without going through the proper system is not a clever way, it's not a smart way or a good way or even a Bible-sanctioned way of doing things. But this is what happened. The bishop received threats on TikTok two weeks earlier
Mm-hmm.
Someone's in the TikTok were saying the bishop had only two more weeks to leave. And people were posting and saying, goodbye, bishop, you know, farewell. It was great to meet you. And the bishop responded to that. He replied to that. He has over 250,000 followers.
Oh, wow.
On his social media account, I believe in Instagram. And he said, you know what? I'm actually, when I heard that I had only 2 weeks to live, and I'm paraphrasing here what he said. Mm. He said, I was happy because I am done with this world of sin. I am done with this world of pain. I am ready to go. This is what his response was. And then 2 weeks later, we had that stabbing happening right in front of everyone. It was being live streamed.
So it was preemptive as well. Like they had decided to do this previously. But why? Like,
wow. We don't know why. The police is still investigating. We don't have a lot of news so far. But I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in Matthew 15, in verse 19, that out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Jesus is saying that a murder starts where? In the heart. In the heart. It starts a decision. It started something brewing in the heart. Now, since the offender is a 15-year-old young man, it makes me think, and again, this is me thinking here, what has that young mind being exposed to? Mm. Jesus said this as well in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now, in those times, the lamp of the body is the eye. It was talking about the mind. Mm. The eye and the mind were often interchangeably talked about. So if your mind has light, if it has good things, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye or your mind is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness.
Mm.
If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So it matters what we add, what we consume, what our children consume. It matters. It affects us.
Mm.
It influences us. So my appeal is, parents, young people, watch what you are feeding your mind with. If you're feeding your mind with violent games, with violent movies, with violent songs, how do you expect to have any peaceful fruit out of that?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
The Bible says, think of the things that are pure, think of the things that are noble. Our minds were not designed to feed itself on junk content.
Yeah.
And sadly, 99% of the content out there, I would say,
yeah,
could very well fall into that category. So we still need to understand, but I would like to raise that discussion. What are we feeding our minds? And what are we allowing our young people to feed their minds with?
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Quiz number 3 of the show, Lawson.
Simply this, what did the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost sound like? And the Bible describes this in the book of Acts. It says that there's a particular sound that is happening when the Holy Spirit comes in Pentecost. If you know the answer, 0491-064-669, that is the number to text. And again, that question, what did the arrival of the Holy Spirit sound like at Pentecost? 0491-064-669. We have two amazing books to give you guys if you win the draw. Suki Gunatalecki with Sister in Arms and As Bright as the Stars. We would love to give you these books. We would love for you to be able to win them because they're about an amazing topic of the church history through the
Reformation. We need to hear more stories like in these books about women of courage, women of faith, women of moral fiber. We need role models more than ever, Lawson. Mm-hmm. People who really embodied the justice and the highest ideals of God in their own lives. And they acted upon it.
Absolutely. They gave their lives for it, even powerful stories. Again, 0491-064-669. What did the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost sound like?
And in today's interview, we are going to welcome Dr. John Ashton. He is a chemist, a researcher, a writer, and today he's going to be telling us a little bit about the research and the benefits of exposing ourselves to sunlight. Dr. John, welcome to the show.
Ah, yes, good morning. Another beautiful day. We've had quite a bit of sunlight recently.
Yes, we did. So sunlight, what is it good for other than, you know, getting a tan and looking a little bit, you know, more roasted?
Well, hopefully not roasted. No, sunlight is quite important for our health. And one of the things that concerns me, of course, today is we have all these portable phone type devices and television and so forth, and we can spend, you know, quite a lot of time looking at screens. And it's interesting, of course, that God originally put us in a garden, but there's quite a bit to actually the role of sunlight and how it affects us. So earlier on, you talked about the effect of sunlight on our skin.
Yes.
Now, one of the interesting things is that how sunlight reacts with our skin is actually controlled by a little optical sensor that is located in our eyes. And so in our eyes, we actually have an optic fiber. So it's actually a little, you could almost consider it like a little tube that actually takes the sunlight, the sunlight photons, down to the pineal gland. And when it interacts with the pineal gland, which is sort of one of the master control glands in our body, it's in our brain, it helps regulate a lot of things. So one of the things that it helps regulate is the melanocytes in our skin. So these are the pigment cells in our skin. And so when we're in bright sunlight, that sunlight coming down to the pineal gland switches on a mechanism that tells our melanocyte cells to expand to block out the sunlight so that it's regulated so that we produce just the right amount of vitamin D that we need.
This is like how you get a tan, essentially?
Well, one of the things that you can do, for example, and this can be illustrated, if you, for example, go to a movie in the middle of the day, right, or say you went to a movie that was at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're sitting in this dark theatre watching the movie, and 11 o'clock you come out into the bright sunlight, you will feel your skin tingling from the burning effects of the sunlight. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you went out into the sun at 9 o'clock and your eyes are exposed to the natural level, they will adjust the melanocyte level up so that you are now protected from that sunlight and you won't burn quite as easily, and it also lowers the risk of skin cancer as a result.
So this is basically a natural sunscreen of sorts, or some kind of protection against sunburn. Is that correct, Dr. John?
Well, I mean, if we're extreme, we're still going to get sunburned. So one of the implications for this, of course, is the wearing of sunglasses. And so sunglasses interfere with this. And so this is where it's very fashionable to wear sunglasses. But unless we have a specific eye condition where we really need to wear sunglasses to protect damage to our eyes, such as perhaps some forms of glaucoma, these sort of things, it's important to wear sunglasses, say, when you're snow skiing because of the high glare.
Oh, yes.
Or if you're driving a speedboat on water where you're getting a lot of reflected light, again, as a pilot, sometimes driving in your car. There are times when it is important to wear sunglasses. But other times, it's probably very good not to wear sunglasses. There's some very interesting research that comes out because the sunlight entering our eyes also regulates a number of other biochemical processes, such as our cholesterol production. So, for example, exposure to bright sunlight and so forth will help lower our cholesterol levels. It's also very effective in lowering blood pressure. Matter of fact, you know, research was done some years ago now that if people got out in natural sunlight more, it could significantly reduce stroke and certainly, you know, protect against heart disease by significantly lowering blood pressure. So regular exposure to sunlight. And again, it's via this mechanism where the actual photons of sunlight actually travel down into the pineal gland and help regulate biochemical processes, amazing processes and biochemistry that God's designed. So these are quite important. The other very important factor of getting out into bright light, particularly early in the morning, is there's some other fascinating things, and that is that the spectrum of sunlight changes through the day.
Mm.
And it's quite interesting that early in the morning, the spectrum is such that it helps switch on certain processes. And in the evening, as we get the redder colours and so forth in longer wavelengths,
oh, wow,
it affects our, you know, ability to sleep.
So our body responds different according to the colour, the spectrum of colour of the sun.
Yeah, and it varies through the day. And so this is the other thing. We often sit in offices under artificial lights and this sort of thing. And again, this all plays a role in our health. There were some studies that were done some years ago and this led to the changing of the types of lighting in schools, that when they put lighting, the lights in schools that represented or mimicked natural sunlight, they reduce tooth decay. And this is, again, because of the role of vitamin D and sunlight plays in our calcium metabolism cycle. So there are so many fascinating things that are actually linked to our exposure to sunlight.
What about, so Dr. Johnny, it looks like it's number one, a great idea to get out there and to expose yourself to some natural sunlight, particularly early in the morning. It looks like it's a good idea to do so without wearing a sunglass, unless, of course, you're going to be in extended period or you have an existing condition. I learned through a genetic test that my brother did that in our family we have degenerative macular disease. So we basically start to get blind as we get old. So one of the recommendations that we get is to avoid direct sun exposure to the eye, to prevent or to decelerate that process. Tell that's lots of that happening in my family. But the question that I also wanted to ask is, what about the immune system? Is the immune system affected at all by our exposure to sunlight?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure about that, but we know that sunlight, of course, has antibacterial properties. And so when we're talking about being out in sunlight, we're obviously not looking at the sun, but we're being outside where we can see a high level of light in intensity. So it's not involved looking at the sun. We need to make that clear.
It's
just involved in being out in bright sunlight. Like we might be in the shade of a tree, but we're outdoors. And so we're exposed to that reflected light. But sunlight, yes, is very good in that it's, you know, will kill bacteria. Matter of fact, the ultraviolet light component of sunlight is quite effective as that. And there are water treatments that are used for sterilization that use ultraviolet light. One of the other fascinating things is that the exposure to bright light during the day helps regulate our melatonin levels. Now, our melatonin is one of the probably the strongest anti-cancer hormones in our body. So it's one of the best fighters or hormones that will help us protect against cancer.
Oh, really?
For example, and also helps us sleep well. And of course, sleep, again, is very important for regulation of blood pressure and these sort of things. And stress, and of course we know stress is linked to heart disease. And so the idea is that the earlier we go into darkness of a night. So of a night time, if we ideally could go to bed and turn the lights off, you know, at sort of 8 or 9 o'clock, depending on whether it's summer or winter, and get the maximum amount of darkness before 1 a.m., because what happens is melatonin production peaks at about 1 a.m. And so it's ramping up till about 1 a.m. and then drops away. And that is very, very good for our health. So the levels of melatonin are maximized by the brightest exposure to light during the day and then darkness of light. So getting out into the bright sunlight, being outdoors during the day is, and then getting to bed early is ideal for maximizing our melatonin production. And that helps with sleep. As I said, it's a hormone. It's a very powerful anti-cancer hormone. Helps protect our body from a lot of, you know, not right chemical reactions, you could say. So this is another fascinating aspect. Matter of fact, there was some work done in the 1960s where they took people who had cancer, a range of different cancers, and that's what they did. They put them outdoors sitting, they could be sitting in the shade, but outdoors during the daytime, and then as soon as it was dark, there was no light. And the other thing was they weren't allowed to wear glasses because glass absorbs some of the wavelengths, particularly, and one of the things that they found was that in virtually all the cases that they studied, there was a remission of cancer. It was quite a famous study. It was done by a very high-level research medical group in the United States in the 1960s. And, of course, it's that's what the argument is. Well, it's a lot easier to use drugs. But I think that, again, this is, you know, one of the things that getting out in the sunlight and developing habits where we spend more time in the outdoors just helps our body develop that resistance to disease overall. It's not going to necessarily stop us from, you know, getting something like cancer and this sort of thing, or absolutely, but it will reduce the risk and may, in combination with other therapies as well, help us recover more quickly. But it's very important if we're doing that, again, to not be wearing sunglasses, because these interfere with the mechanism. They actually interfere with the wavelengths of light that are getting in to the pineal gland. So we need to remember sunglasses, while they may look cool, actually shouldn't be a fashion accessory. They should be something that we wear when we're in high glare conditions. Like even walking along.
Yes.
Where there's a lot of reflected light and that could harm our eyes. But otherwise, we want that bright light to get into our eyes.
Thank you very much. We ran out of time, but thank you for explaining to us how intricate the mechanisms between the sun and our body work.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.